Welcome to the Cyberspace Report. Who's our guest today, Jim?
Well, Lisa, today in studio we have with us Richard Stallman, who is a MacArthur Fellow. He is also the founder of the Free Software Foundation. However, we're not going to be discussing either of those two topics today. We're instead going to be discussing a proposal the Commerce Department has for modifying current copyright law. Richard, why don't you give a sort of an overview of these changes?
The Clinton administration recently released the final draft of their proposals for copyright and computer networks, in which they plan to give sweeping new powers to publishers, which they've never had before, to control every activity of people who read books, listen to music, if a computer or a network are involved. Copyright traditionally has given publishers certain powers while leaving certain freedom to readers, listeners, users in general. The new proposal is to take away those freedoms, giving complete power to publishers and for enforcing these in harsh and intrusive ways.
So what are some of the freedoms that people are being denied?
Well, one freedom is the freedom to read a book. If you visit your friend's house and there's a book sitting on the table, you can read that book. It's never been copyright infringement to read a book. But if your friend lets you come visit your friend's computer and you start reading through a book that you see on your friend's computer, that would be prohibited.
So, Richard, what other powers do you see as being impinged upon by this new Department of Commerce proposal?
Well, one plan is to bring back copy protection, which is something that computer users these days don't have to worry about because it's pretty much vanished. But for a while in the 80s, a lot of packages were copy protected, and users really hated that. And then people started getting lock-breaking programs that would enable them to make copies despite the copy protection. And the Supreme Court, I believe, ruled that this was lawful, that these programs were permissible. Well, the administration wants to prohibit them and thus set the stage for bringing back copy protection and many other kinds of things built into a program to do things that you might not want. For example, some publishers are thinking of including in programs or in books and so on things that will keep track of every time the book is read and report back on this, perhaps as part of a financial transaction, setting up, in effect, a pay-per-read system, which is totally at violence to the tradition of our society.
Now, you've mentioned that, in fact, this sets up the situation where your computer ends up being your own police officer.
Well, partly it's your own computer, because any product that is primarily usable to get around any restriction the publisher wants to place on you would be prohibited. Even if that isn't the only use, even if there are substantial other uses which would currently, under today's law, as ruled by the Supreme Court in the famous Betamax videotaping case, the Supreme Court said if there are substantial lawful uses, then it's okay to have the equipment or the products available. This proposal would prohibit them. And, of course, even if something is lawful today, if 5 years from now it turns out people are mainly using it so as to be able to get around the publisher's controls on things, then it would become prohibited and you'd no longer be able to get it. So your own computer would be required to have a policeman or a censor, censor, to keep track of what you do. But it's not just your computer, because people who provide computer services would be required to act as censors as well. One of the central provisions of the Commerce Department's plan is to forcibly deputize everybody who owns a computer and say, you are now required to keep tabs on your users to make sure that they follow these new rules. And if you don't, you will be punished. This is called collective responsibility. It's a favorite tool of dictatorships and governments that want to impose laws that the public doesn't like.
So who would be most affected by that sort of collective responsibility?
Well, of course, anybody who runs a bulletin board system or a network access computer or an online service would be very directly affected, and that's why the online service provider companies are against this report. But the secondary impact would affect everyone in society. The way of life we have now, where you can go to a library and borrow a book, where you can buy a book and then lend it to your friends, or they can just browse it while they're visiting you, all these things will be changed. They'll be gone.
So, it sounds like an ordinary American would be pretty opposed to this new regulation. What possible motivation would any American have for proposing such a regulation change?
Well, we can guess at the publisher's motivation. They figure that the more different activities require their permission for people to do them, the more times they'll be able to make people pay. And so they will get more money. That's their motivation. You might then ask, what's the administration's motivation for wanting to satisfy the publishers? The speculation is that Clinton hopes to get campaign contributions from them.
Now, when you talk about publishers, you're talking about not only publishers of books, but also publishers of movies, right?
Movies, yes. Music, records. Publishers in the broader sense. Media companies, as they are now. Often conglomerates that are involved in many kinds of media.
What's your sense as to, who is the main sort of target of this? Is it, more traditional print media, or is it more the protection of movies and protection of movie rights?
I don't like that word protection because it's actually a biased word. Protecting somebody is keeping that somebody safe from harm. So if you use the word protection, you're implying that if I read your book that I see on your coffee table, that I'm harming somebody. I don't think that's true. But as to your question, which kind of media is this mainly aimed at? Well, there's speculation that it's mainly aimed at movies because it's from the movie companies that the campaign contributions are expected. But whether that's true, I don't know. It would apply to all sorts of things once they're in computerized form, whether they are musical recordings or novels or textbooks or software programs like the ones that I write, whatever it might be.
So who, I assume that there are some opposition to these proposed regulation changes. Who are some of the people who are against? You've mentioned that online service providers are against. Who are some of the other people who are opposed to this?
Well, library associations are opposed to this. Sun Microsystems is opposed to this because one effect of the prohibition on bypassing any technological impediments to reading what's inside of something is that it would prohibit disassembly. And current law in some of the circuits of the United States says that disassembling a program to learn the non-copyrightable ideas, principles, and methods of operation is lawful. And this is an important thing if you're a software developer and say you want to write a program that will replace or interoperate with some other program that's popular, like Windows 95. In order to do it, you've got to find the details of how it operates, how it communicates with other things. And sometimes, when Microsoft has a secret interface they won't tell people about, the only way to find out what it is to disassemble something. So, for a lot of software developers who are not the biggest ones, not the the ones who dominate the markets, but the ones who hope to compete with them, the ability to disassemble is very important.